Yeah, I think it does too.
Okay.
That's very loud in my left ear.
As I'm editing this podcast, I realize I need to give a little bit of background as to what's going on here. Some of the production might not be as high quality as it will be in future episodes. But for now, we don't want to let perfection get in the way of good enough. So without further ado, here is Nathan and I's first episode of the new Crucible podcast.
Sorry.
Are we rolling here?
We're rolling.
We're rolling all over.
We're rolling everywhere, dude. Right, I've been cool. Recording for 10 minutes of us doing this.
Okay, well, we just post a podcast of that.
Yes. No, the behind the scenes is going to be hilarious because all you're going to hear is me going, shoo, 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 ah, shit, oh, shoo. Anyways. The topic this week, I think, definitely has to be adversity. We just overcame a bunch of it.
We did, and I think that's a life thing. It's funny, as we're looking, we'll get back to that. As we're looking at this thing, it reminds me of a time at my SP headquarters when we got the new Rode Podcaster, or Rodecaster Pro set up, and we got really drunk and thought we were really funny. There was like six of us, and we were talking. We recorded a really, like, I'm not just talking like drunk. I'm talking about like inebriated drunk. I ended up passing out I fell asleep on the floor. Don't even remember it, at my headquarters. Woke up with a massive migraine. And I remember how we went back and reviewed the footage, the audio. It was so bad. We thought we were very, you know, that's, you know, when you're drunk and you think you're very clever and smart.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
But you look back on the video or something and people are like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
You're like, man. And you look at yourself and you're like, man, I was such an idiot. I thought I sounded so intelligent.
I did the same thing one time. I went back and rolled tape and I was like, I thought it was funny to grab the microphone.
Dude. And in the, you know, it's so funny because in the moment you think it's so clever and good.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's alcohol gives you such a misperceived reality.
Yeah. I'm reliving it and I'm getting hot. I'm sweating a little bit.
You're like, what was I doing?
I think it's on the internet.
Oh no.
I think my buddy posted it. I'm going to have to look into that.
Well, there's that.
Yeah.
Now we got to go research it.
Well, anyways,
back to the topic.
Yeah. You have a lot of value to add. You've lived a lot of life. You've done some crazy things, built a $10 million a year company. You have served in the military in a pretty high up position, and you've had a lot of responsibilities in all areas, basically family, military, business, and things like that. So I'm really curious, when it comes to the topic of adversity, what it is, your perception on that is, just 30,000 foot view.
Yeah, that's such a big window here to cover down on. But man, I look at my life, and most of my life has been adversity. In fact, I can't think of a year in my life that wasn't adverse. It's almost like I've, not to be the victim of it, it's almost like I've been crawling through the trenches of barbed wire my whole life. And it's I'm so grateful because it's made me who I am. But, you know, I try not to do the whole comparison game, but it is a reality, right? All we know as humans is who we are based upon our comparison to someone else, right? And what I'm not trying to say is I'm better, more righteous, you know, more qualified than the guy next to me. But what I will say is that the extreme amount of adversity that I've faced in the military, in combat, in divorce, in parenting, in single parenting, in business alone, every entrepreneur knows this, has made me a very tough dude. And not tough by standards of like, oh, I can plow through anything, but my resilience is what's, I think, pretty impeccable. Mm. Is that, you know, adversity used to hold me down for a bit, but now I'm back so fast. It's like, and it's like, I can just keep going. It's very intriguing to me is that there's very few things that can bury me. Mm-hmm. If anything at all, I haven't found anything that can. And I do think this is true is I think that a lot of people truly underestimate their strength. And there's always so much more, but people quit so easy. People quit very easy.
Okay, I want to stop.
Yeah.
You have gotten to a place where you now realize there's nothing that can keep you down. There hasn't been anything to stop you yet.
No.
But you once were not there.
Correct.
And so when you were in a place, having reached only the adversity that childhood brings, and you're a man, you enter into the world, you don't know what you're made out of.
No.
What was, I mean, another super broad question, but you do well with those.
Yeah.
But how do, I mean, what was that process like for you? Almost just in a step-by-step, but when you entered manhood.
Yeah. Well, you know, in my situation, I went from alcoholic college student, 19 years old, living a completely dumbass life, to immediately joining the military and not just going through basic training, but moving to England and then going to Iraq, all within a 12-month period. So when you look at 19-year-old Nathan, hates authority, wants to be spontaneous, loves to get drunk and have fun, highly insecure, no schedule, no one can tell me what to do, failing out of college, blackout drunk three nights a week, picking myself up over and over again, wondering what the hell I'm doing, to not just joining the military, but moving to England overseas and then going to Iraq. So in a condensed time frame. So me understanding how to navigate that and the actual experience of it changed me drastically. When I put this in conversation for anybody listening to this show, the answer is this. It's that I think that most people will live a life of comfortability. And it's the big step that you need to take that exposes you to voluntary adversity that will actually change you. I look at the average person that grows up in the small town or in the city, wherever it is, and they figure out the next step, whether it's going to a job or whether it's going to college. And college can be a bit of an adversity because you move out of your house and all of a sudden you're on your own, but it's really not that much adversity. But then they find comfort in their friend groups, and then they get a job and they start making money and it pays the bills. But like most people, 9 out of 10 live a life of comfortability. Mm. And it is the few that are willing to take a big step into something different that scares the living shit out of them, that actually changes people. But most people won't. And when I look at my life that started, my childhood was all adversity. My parenting, like, completely fucked up childhood. I wasn't abused, but like when I look at it now, it was far from great. But at 19, when I made that choice and separated from everything and everyone I knew, and went to a different country and then went to war, holy smokes, man, that changed me. And I think that everybody that wants to grow and to do something great and to be a better version of themselves is going to have to voluntarily expose themselves to extreme adversity, extreme uncomfortability, another level beyond just making a move or moving out of the city. It's got to be bigger. And that's just my perspective.
I think you're right. I was on a coaching call yesterday, and I was talking to one of our guys, and he has goals that he wanted to hit by December. He said he had a conversation with you and you were like, dude, December. And so I think part of the deal was like, no, jump in, get coaching, do it by July.
Right.
And so when I met with him, he was telling me what his goals were. And he was saying that he's like, I don't know. I lack a lot of self-confidence and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, well, if you analyze a deal and it's a good deal, I mean, have you studied this? Do you understand the business that you're in? Yes. Okay. Well, if it's a good deal, why wouldn't you do it? Well, I'm scared. Mm. I'm like, well, buddy, let me tell you about the $1 million remodel that made me $2,000 over a year, because I wanted to pull my hair out the whole time. But you got to take these big leaps.
Yeah.
Because what made me $2,000 one year has made me millions after.
Right.
It, I mean, that's what made, that's what laid the foundation for my business.
Yeah.
Was that huge,
huge step.
Not quite a loss, but $2,000 over a year is horrible.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I mean, and so I was encouraging him to just take that step, make that big leap, and maybe even learn a lesson, you know, because you might not win.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you'll learn something.
Man, it's, I'm loving this conversation, and I love where you went with that, because you said it cost you $1 million. $1 million home, is that what it was?
No, it was $1 million remodel. I made $2,000. Yeah.
So $1 million, like that million, how much money did you put into that? You're saying $1 million.
$900,000. Yeah. 900, yeah, yes. Yeah.
And that's exactly my point, is that life requires you to stretch like big. And you'll be you may not be rewarded immediately for that stretch. Like for you, it was a $2,000 return on a nearly seven-figure investment, which, and you go, that was awful. But the fact is, the commitment to the big stretch is actually what changed you. And there was an ROI, undefinable ROI, that continued to happen after you made that decision. Am I right or am I wrong?
You're 100% right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like just to that story, I mean, I was a contractor and I took this job because it was small and it grew, you know, the relationship grew. And then over that year, I made $2,000 in profit, but I still had to coordinate $1 million worth of remodel. Mm. So I had, all the headaches and all the problems. But what I came out of that with was, a mentor. Mm. And so the guy that I was working for, he saw that I had problems. Mm. I had like real business problems. Didn't know how to do it. And he stepped in and helped me. But it was because I endured and I didn't give up. Yeah. And he saw my struggle and he let me struggle the entire time.
Wow.
Before he ended the remodel with a gift, $25,000 watch.
Dang.
I don't count that as profit because it's still sitting in. I'm never going to sell that.
Right.
That is my story.
Yeah.
But he ended up being a pivotal role in why my business grew. It's because he saw that I didn't come back to him with a bunch of excuses.
Yeah.
I made it work.
Right.
You made it happen. Yeah. And he put me on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's so much to say about the character of that. Is it like, I know when it's why I'm so grateful to have you here working with Crucible, is because the number one thing I look for in people that I want to surround myself with, be mentored by, coach, be friends with, marry, is grit, tenacity, and hunger. Mm. And it, those are things that cannot be trained. Maybe they can be cultivated.
Yes.
But cultivated from you. And I don't know if it can be cultivated from someone else.
Nobody can convince you to do what's necessary to get it.
Right. It's like me as a father. Like I can tell my kids to work hard, clean up, but until they get it and want to do it intrinsically, it won't translate. Right. It doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. Like it has to be something that clicks in within you.
Yes.
So I think it can improve, but just out of character of people, you know, I think that's such a gift, and it's really not a gift. It's an earned gift, but man, it changes things. It changes people. It changes organizations. And that's the kind of people I love to surround myself with. I know this is slightly off, but I mean, the people who are willing to endure adversity are the same people like you that are willing to have the grit, tenacity, perseverance, and hunger to do the difference.
Yeah. And you wonder the whole time. I mean, the thing is like, it's easy to be on the other side of that and go, oh, well, it's a good thing I did that.
Yeah.
Because you saw how it played out.
Yeah.
You saw that my business grew because I had mentoring. I didn't, but in the middle of this, like I'm sure in the middle of your story too, nobody's saving you.
No.
You're not. No. There is no like, oh, we're good. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I am so grateful that I come from smart people.
Yeah.
You know, like I had good, my dad is a very smart man. Mm-hmm. So I have certain advantages, but like but when you're in this stuff, I mean, you got no way out.
No.
It's the only way out is through. And if you're willing to subject yourself to a situation like that, then you're either gonna get through it or you're gonna die.
It's sink or swim. Here's what I tell people. You know, one of the things that we in this org or in this business coaching that we do, you know, when you talk to people about wanting to join what you're doing, there's always that apprehension of investing money into yourself. It's an objection that comes unless the person's seasoned and understands what that investment does for them. There's always the conversation of trying to convince someone how important it is to invest in themselves. But here's what I tell everybody that I'm on a call with who wants to join Crucible is that the investment alone, no work is done, no coaching is done, no meetups, no fly out, like the fact that I take X amount of dollars, let's call it $10,000, and I put it into me, when that number is uncomfortable for me, regardless of what happens after the investment, you will grow, right? Because you're deciding to take an amount of money and put it into yourself, right? You could join a shit coaching program for too much money and it all be fucked up. But regardless, the investment alone will stretch you to do something bigger. There's more pressure, right? There's more pressure. There's consequences if I don't succeed. And it really, that thing, whether it's a financial, whether it's a move, whether whatever it is, right? That risk that I'm going to go out on the whim and figure out will always take you to new places. And I think it's a separator in people that are exceptional and live great lives and normal, mediocre people. Mm-hmm. I think exceptional people take risks on themselves and they make themselves highly uncomfortable very frequently. And I think mediocre people play it safe, live by fear, stay in their bubble, worry about everything. And that's the separator, man.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably listening and you know who you are, but if you analyze a good deal and you don't pull the trigger, man, how are you going to be exceptional? You got to go for it.
You can't.
And when I went and sold that first paint, I was called to that $1 million house for a paint bid, right? Wow. Yeah. And then she's like, "You're my guy." And I was like, "I am." It was my first year in business. Wow. I think I'd been in business for like 3 months.
And it's like when people, someone believed in you and you didn't believe in yourself.
Right? Had no idea. You're no, like, this gal is just,
oh, really?
Yeah. Big, yes. Big wig. They're both like executives out of California, the textile industry. Mm-hmm. And I'm just showing up to this amazing house.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, and she's like, "You're my guy." And I'm like, "Okay, I don't know what that means. I'm 3 months into my business."
Yeah.
You know, but she's like, "I believe in you. You can do this."
Yeah.
And yeah. But I just kept saying yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just kept agreeing. I kept stepping into faith. I kept like, "Can you do this?" I would be honest with her. I'm like, "I don't have a guy for that." "Well, you can find someone." I'm like, "Yes, I can."
Yeah.
And then it's like, "Well, and get me bids and we'll go over it and blah, blah, blah." And I had no idea how to do it. That's why I made $2,000. Mm-hmm. But I kept saying yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the metaphor that I love to use. I use it all the time. And it's what you did was you jumped out of the plane and built the parachute on the way down. You didn't know all the answers. You didn't know who was going to help you. You didn't know any of that stuff. And I think that this is where a lot of people go wrong is they want the security of the result before they make the investment. Okay, well, you know, I got to get all my ducks in a row and I got to make sure that if I do this, that it's going to turn out exactly how I want. What if the investment you made, the decision you had to make that was so big and so uncomfortable, you didn't know what the ROI was, but it actually, if you did it, it would probably turn out better than you could have ever expected. The ROI that you want on your paper, that you're like, "Okay, if I invest this amount and I move here and I do this thing, I'm going to get this." And you're so worried about the outcome. But actually what I found, Brandon, is that when you actually just say, "Fuck the outcome, just go in and do it," that the ROI is 10 times better than if I had to try to predict it or outline it or forecast it to be this thing that I want it to be.
Mm, yeah.
It's always way better.
No, and I can speak to your conviction on this. We're doing that with Crucible. We're building the thing as we're flying, you know? And I think that's why surrounding yourself with people who are fellow entrepreneurs, getting in a group with people who understand you is like, nobody here's complaining.
No,
right? No one in that room is going, "This is wrong. Ah, stress, blah." We know it's stress. We know we have to build the plane. We know that we're jumping out of the plane without a parachute.
Yeah.
You know, that when I came down here, backstory in 5 seconds. Nathan says, do you want to come join Crucible? I had like 2 days notice and
join
I'm down
Crucible,
here.
But like me, like join the executive team, not
yeah.
like.
Big, well, yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you want to yeah. be a part of this thing? Mm. And I had like 2 days notice and I flew down here. But anyways, that's another, just like, we're not here talking about it. We're here doing it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're doing it right now. Yeah. I just jumped out of another freaking airplane.
You did.
You know, and you too.
Yeah.
Because we're building this thing as we're flying and we're living what we're preaching.
Absolutely.
Right now. Real time.
Yes.
So, yeah, I just want everyone to know this is not just stuff that we talk about. This is stuff we live.
Absolutely.
Every day.
It's become who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've lived the other side. I've lived the side of fear. I've lived the side of what if. I've made some really dumb mistakes in my life that have cost me a lot of money. But the mistakes, I always tell people, people look at my success and I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I've done a few things, but I've made way more, thousands of more mistakes in my life than I have had success. And I'm completely okay with it. And if my life for the next 50 years is orchestrated that way, I'm good. I'm good. Because I would rather live a life of risk and mistake than sitting scared in my living room, watching TV, broadcasting the fucking news, being scared of everything. I would much rather take the risk life because the reward is always going to be better and it fills me up.